Right. Here's an overview of the Arctic coast plain of Alaska. It's characterized by a lot of salt lake dots over the floodland. The objectives of our study is to investigate soil characteristics and cross stratigraphy in different types of ice wedge polygons. And number two, to estimate carbon distributions and stocks across different polygons. Last, improve our understanding of the role of landscape process on carbon stocks. So the study area is the northern tip of Alaska called the Barrow. Here's the Barrow Environmental Observatory. Our study area is in the blue line outlined here. So on an aerial view, look at landscape. It's really dominated by, we call it Salt Lake Basins, different stages of development, newly formed, eventually dried out. And so here's the ice wedge, simply ice wedge polygon formation, ice wedge expanding, eventually crack the soils and create different polygons. So on a large scale, this is a Salt Lake Basins, but on a ground level, look at newly formed flat-centered polygons, eventually integrate to low-centered polygons, eventually high-centered polygons. After that, it disintegrate into the Salt Lake again cycle. So this is our sampling plot. Okay, we take three polygons from each type of a similar isolated polygons. Method, how we do it. So we excavate trench, open pit, down to about 1.5 meter by shovels and a jackhammer. From the center of the ice wedge trough, that's the trough, toward the center of the polygons. And then down to the meter and a half, we use a slippery core to core down anywhere to 2 to 3 meters deep at 50 to 100, 250 centimeter intervals. Then we describe soil horizons from the trench and the cryogenic structure, that means ice inclusions in the frozen soil from course according to French and Shore. Then we sample bulk density from the coring with hand drill or from slippery cores. Eventually fill up the pit and take a sample analysis by the National Lab, Argonne National Lab. So part one, result. How big is ice wedges? Okay. Look at soil morphology, both from active layers and upper permafrost. I'll explain this in the following. Then look at the cross stratigraphy for the transient layers, intermediate layers, and the true permafrost. Okay, in this area, the true permafrost based from beach and the marine deposit. So how big is the ice wedge? From the flat center polygon to low center polygon, average about 2 meters or a little more. Eventually to high center polygons, reach the 3.5 meters wide. So now look at soil profiles according to cross stratigraphy. What we call the active layer is a layer subject to seasonal freeze in the soil. The transient layer are the layers that permafrost table fluctuate on the interannual and decadal scales. The intermediate layer are the part that the permafrost aggregate on the decadal to century scales. Okay. And the true permafrost is not being affected over millennia by environmental fluctuations. So we'll primarily look at the cross stratigraphy from the cores. How we decide is a transient layer or intermediate layer based on the ice content and the structure changes. So active layer here, here's our transient layers, and below are the intermediate layers. So this one, we see the intermediate layer dominated by ice-rich layers and to microlenticular, called true permafrost. So general idea is how we decided. Again, going to transient layers. This ice lens or ice belt, we see that formed on top and the bottom of the horizons. Generally, they are rich in organics, okay, organic cultivated here. The intermediate layers, the Russian called ataxitic, US taxonomy called suspended. Okay. Ice count is normally greater than 60% up to 90%. So here's what we call reticular structure. And the soils are in angular blocky. And the layer, so here we have lenticular, basically flat and braided, you know, like braided river. And here lenticular integrating to reticulate. And quite often in the intermediate layer we see a crowd of beta organics like really tying down to pretty deep. Now we go to true permafrost. Okay. Dominated by reticular structure with less cryotibated organic matter, a little bit. And in this particular case, with stratified sandy layers and dark grayish blue because of marine sediments. And here's a massive, here's a porphyritic and microlenticular. So this is a true permafrost. You stay here a long time without interruption. So I'll go a little faster here. So we summarize the active layer, okay, and average of depths dominated by organic horizon and cryotibate organic and mineral horizon. Primarily plated structure, look at the color, okay, most reduced. And the cryogenic features, we have wavy structures, wavy horizons and the cryotibated horizons again. In lower center polygon, we see the raised rim around the polygon edges. Eventually, high center polygons, the center buckle up, become high centered. The transient layers, again, we see the range of increased thickness. Again, cryotibation, organic, and minerals. Soil structure, anywhere from platy, irregular wedge shaped, to a medium wedge shaped angular blocky. Okay. Color, again, certainly reduced. Organic, cryogenic features, we see the lenticular, reticular structure with fracturing of organics down deep. Ice content, particularly in this case, anywhere above 80%. The intermediate layers, we see the depth ranges relatively, are narrow. So with ice rich, represented WF, cultivated with substratum, soil structure, anywhere around medium angular blocky, fine platy to wedge shaped. The color, you see the increase of reduction. 5Y, and cryogenic, basically suspended, means the soil matrix suspended in ice matrix, that's what it means. Okay, ice content 70 to 80% or more. Down to the substratum, this is a true permafrost, or stable permafrost. The depth we found is anywhere below 110 to 150 centimeters, that's where the horizon is. Color, you can see, since this layer is hardly affected by environmental changes, so stayed frozen for the past 5,000 to 8,000 years. So the color is way down to the gallate page. So structure, because of marine sediments, anywhere from silt loam to silt clay. And occasionally, we have sandy lenses here. So structure, is from massive to granular to angular. Okay. Cryogenic features, anywhere from porphyritic, microlenticular, okay, to reticulate. Ice content, surprisingly, with a decreased ice content compared to the overlying horizons. So now we'll look at the dynamics of ice wedges. So ice wedge widens from flat to low, eventually high thermal polygons, from 2 to 3.5 meters, okay? So the contemporary flat thermal polygon started on newly formed during the lake basin or most recent floodplains. When ice wedge expansion causes a depressed trough between the polygons, we see the raised polygon rims because squeeze of ice wedge and deformation of the soil horizons. And eventually from flat, eventually raised polygon center. So we see quite a bit of organic matter churning deeper in polygon centers, seems to be coming down to cone-shaped. And the marine sediments were pushed upward along the side of ice wedges from 1.5 meters pushed up on the side. So going to the second part, how we estimate the spatial distribution of organic carbon across ice wedge polygons. So for time, I'll probably go to the next one just to show how we do it. In the open trench, we use field sketch calibrated with a photography image, come up with this imagery of how the carbon organic matter distributes spatially. Next, we use the core samples to describe ice-rich horizons, how the organic matter coming down, and again, this is the permafrost table, okay. Then this is from the open trench, calibrate ice content, and with the drawings and everything, come up with these drawings. So with these three approaches, we come up with horizon designations and for this horizon, okay. Eventually use digitized of the horizons to come up with ice content and also with carbon densities. So part two, we're going to spatial distribution of organic carbon across different types of ice wedge polygons. So this one, you know, flat thermal polygons, we see that most of the carbon concentrated on top layers. Then to low center, we see the increase of depth distribution. Eventually to high center polygons, we see significant increase with the depth due to cultivation. Okay. By the way, on both sides, it's ice wedges. Okay. From this tells us with progression from low center, flat center to low center, we see subdivision of polygons. So now we see the horizon carbon stocks average across polygon profiles. In the active layer, so there's not much difference in the total carbon stocks. In the permafrost, so the total carbon increase from flat to high center polygons. For horizon types, okay, there's not much different according to horizons. We can see in both cases organic increase quite a bit. Okay. So that's sort of summary.
All right.
Okay. So my time's off.
Yes, you're